our prospect profiles continue as we are traveling over to the WHL to talk about our first of four WHL prospects this week. Today, we've got Will Scouch back of Scouching to talk all about Owen Pickering of the Swift Current Broncos. That's what's coming up today on Locked On Blue Jackets.
Locked On Blue Jackets, your daily podcast on the Columbus Blue Jackets. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Blue Jackets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am, as always, your host, Jay Foster, and we're continuing our week-long prospect profiles with another episode talking to Will Scouch of Scouching, who always has super, super smart things to say about basically every prospect. Yesterday we looked at Gleb Trikasov. Today we're going to be looking at Owen Pickering of WHL, a big, big defenseman who could maybe fit into Columbus's systems better than a lot of people think. And before we get started, I want to thank everyone for making this your first listen of the day. Locked On Blue Jacket is free and available on all podcast platforms and also on YouTube. So if you want to go over, hit subscribe on YouTube. That would be really helpful for me. It'll make your life a lot easier if you would like to consume this podcast in a video form. And everybody wins. So yeah, YouTube. Free and available. Never going to have to get behind a paywall for a Locked On product. And let's get into my conversation with Will Scouch. So on paper, I feel like Owen Pickering does not look like a guy that the Blue Jackets would draft. Just based on the fact that he is a Canadian defenseman and the Blue Jackets love to draft Europeans, but we've seen it before. They drafted Corson Coolmans last year. And I thought let's take a look at WHL defensemen because they do kind of like their WHL players. So I've got Will Scouch here to tell us all about Owen Pickering.
Yes, Owen Pickering. Where do you want to start? He is a very, very, very interesting player for this year's draft, I think, in my view. Obviously, a big, skilled, rangy guy. The first thing I love pointing out about him is that when he was drafted in the WHL draft a few years ago, he was listed at, I believe, 5'7 or 5'8 and or like something like that. And I mean, maybe that was an incorrect, you know, log in the data, but that's what it says. And if he's grown 9 inches in the last 3 years, it makes a lot of sense when you watch him play. He plays like he's a 5'9 defenseman at times, really skilled, you know, tries offensive stuff that you would not expect to someone that's 6'5" or 6" or whatever he is to try, let alone succeed at some of the time. But he's also a player that really, really struggles to drive great results right now. Like he's part of that big group. He's not even part of that really, really big group to me. Like he's just to me at the tail end of the first round, but if like the best version of Owen Pickering in 5 years, when we look back, I could easily see him being a guy that Columbus could have picked at 12 and everyone's happy when they look back in 5 years. Like he is, you know, I don't like using the word raw all that much with regards to young players, but he really is sort of a half finished painting. And whatever you want to, you know, you could take the painting in a whole bunch of different directions to finish it based on what you interpret the painting should look like. But I mean, the way I would go, you know, he's a really interesting skilled, maybe a little bit of dynamic sort of offensive defenseman. He's big, but he doesn't really play with a whole lot of big physical energy. You know, he kind of plays more with a puck possession minded game, really trying his stretch passing. You know, he loves just to pass the puck up the ice a lot. Not often very successfully, but a lot of that I feel like is part of, you know, partially on his team's responsibility, just receiving his passes and stuff. Sometimes they're a little sloppy. Swift Current is a team that is improving, but not necessarily a great WHL team just yet. But Pickering, you know, he's a guy who produced a lot of offense for his team. A lot of it was on the power play, but at 5-on-5, he did show some signs of being a really interesting, creative offensive guy. So he's one of these guys where, you know, if he, I could see a world where he never plays in the NHL. He's just a really big guy that sticks it out in the AHL or something and just kind of doesn't have the next step to sort of hit the NHL and play his game. But if he hits, and we can go through the things that he needs to improve, like if he hits and develops well and sort of fills out his body and sort of gets more comfortable on his feet and really starts to develop his skating a little bit better, then I think you could end up with one of the more interesting sort of dynamic offensive guys, especially with that kind of size that's out there.
Yeah, I feel like when I've watched him play, he kind of reminds me of those like Great Danes where they're done growing everywhere except their paws, you know?
Yeah, so like that's a good way to put it.
They don't
it,
really
yeah.
understand how all of their limbs work yet. And now that you've mentioned that he went from being like 5'7" to 6'5" in mm-hmm. 2 or 3 years, like yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But yeah, he feels like it's kind of like we talked about on the previous episode, this high risk, high reward type player that Columbus loves to go for. And also, you know, we love an offensive defenseman. It's yeah. You know, the team is five Rovers and Vladislav Gavrikov, so you know, it could potentially be a more of a fit than I initially thought. But let's get into a little bit more of his flaws, because we've kind of covered what you can expect from him. But what, like, if you are, you know, the part of the development team for the Blue Jackets, what is the most pressing need, and like, do you think the Blue Jackets are a team that can fix that?
I think the biggest thing for me is his feet. Like, he has really fluid footwork and good edges and can sort of flow around the ice really well. But in terms of pushing pace, especially when he's got the puck and when he's closing out defensive gaps, like, his involvement rate defensively is pretty low. Like, not super low, but a little bit troubling for me, especially for a guy with the kind of reach and the range that he has. He just kind of sits back a little bit too much for my taste. And I think a lot of that comes down to, you know, he's smooth, but not necessarily explosive or quick out of those pivots and everything. But I mean, again, you can go back to his height and everything and just go, okay, things are still growing and he's still filling out and he's still figuring out how to play that way while being that big. But I think that's where my focus would be, because the skill is really good. Like, he can deceive with his body and hands really well, you know, find pass targets in the neutral zone and drive pucks up the ice. He moves pucks up the ice a lot more than a lot of defensemen that I've tracked this year. It's just not very successful a lot of the time. Like, he's given pucks up about 60% of the time, which is really high for defensemen breaking pucks out. You know, so I look at him and I sort of go, okay, well, why, you know, you have to dig into why. And he does rely a lot on passing out of the defensive end. You know, he'll take a few steps up off the goal line, breaking pucks out, and then just sort of fire it up to a winger along the boards. And maybe that's just a strategic thing that Swift Current wants to do. But I feel like with Pickering as well, like, there's a few defensemen like this, especially in Canada, where I go, okay, if you can leverage the feet a little more and trust them to control the puck and quarterback pucks themselves and keep the passing a little simpler, then I think you maintain possession a lot easier and a lot better. Because he does have the ability to gain a lot of momentum. You know, he has good puck protection ability. You know, I feel like he should have the skill and confidence to get through pressure and move pucks up the ice more confidently than he does. But again, yeah, like, he's a player that also needs to get stronger. Like, he's clearly, again, he's grown a lot and needs to fill out and get stronger, because when he gets physically involved, he's less successful than you might think. But he's, you know, he's not a slouch. He's not lazy or anything, you know, I wouldn't even categorize many players like that anyway, but he's a work in progress. Like, he's kind of, like you said, he's a Great Dane with paws that haven't finished growing yet. And still there's a bit of root work to go. So, you know, is there a floor for him? I don't think you're drafting him hoping he's maybe a bottom six or a bottom pair guy at best, because I don't think he's going to carry enough value to really belong there. Like, he's going to need to be a guy that plays with, you know, with the puck on his stick and you trust him and he carries pucks and can move pucks simply but work offensively as well. But to get to that point in the NHL, I feel like he's still got work to do, but you know, you can always work on his skating, and I feel like that's a big tool that will help unlock a lot of potential for him.
Yeah, definitely. He feels like a guy that, it's kind of like we talked about a little bit last episode. He's a guy that is either going to be, you look back and he's either going to go like 14th and people are going to look back and be like, wow, I can't believe they drafted this guy 14th, or he's going to go, you know, 32nd, and people are going to look back and be like, wow, how did he fall all the way to 32nd? And I think it really depends on where, what team he lands on and how they choose to develop him.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think it's going to be very interesting. I mean, I know that some teams are really interested in him, and I know that some teams are not, and I understand why. Like, some teams might have more faith in their ability to develop him and might be more excited about adding a player with that kind of frame and that kind of skill to their defense group. Other teams might go, eh, he doesn't really play our style. You know, he's not, you know, if you're 6'5 and you don't really use your size a whole lot defensively, then what value do you really carry? I might not agree with either of those. I kind of fall somewhere in the middle, but I look at him and I sort of go, oh, yeah, like if he's, I feel like he's going to be drafted higher than we think. I think, you know, if he's gone, if I feel like if Columbus doesn't draft him at 12, he's not going to be available at 44. I would be shocked if that were the case. But, you know, could he be there at 20 or something? Like, possibly. But I think that NHL teams, at least one in that 10 to 20 range, especially like with Buffalo, for example, having multiple first round picks as well. Like, I get the feeling that someone's going to look at him and go, the upside's pretty big. Like, if you can have a 6'5" defenseman on your NHL team that can flow and skate around the ice really well and have a lot of fluidity to their footwork, but also a lot of skill to sort of move pucks and drive possession and really play that way. Like, there's not a lot of those guys in the NHL that are that big playing defense that can do that. And if you find one, it can be pretty useful. So we'll see how it works for him. You know, is he the next Colton Parayko, for example? I feel like that's pretty optimistic, but if he really, really hits, like, I feel like that's the kind of level player you land. And if you get that at 15, then you've done really, really well. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I feel like there's a pretty wide range where he could go in terms of how he is as a player, but the thought of what he could be, I feel like, really gets NHL teams excited. So I feel like he might go a little bit higher than maybe even I'm expecting. Like, if a team goes up there and picks him 10th overall, I wouldn't be shocked, but I'd go, okay, like, strap in, because you're, you know, it's...
And then I've got more of my conversation with Will about Owen Pickering, but first I want to tell you about Built Bar, because they've got a brand new flavor. I feel like they just released Caramel Brownie, but they've already added again. They've got an amazing new flavor, and they've really outdone themselves this time with their new Mud Pie flavor. That's right, Mud Pie. And for the first time ever, Built is introducing the new Mud Pie flavor in both Bar and Puff. If you're a chocolate fan, you had better sit down for this, because the new Mud Pie Bar is rich whipped cream and chocolate mousse, smothered in 100% real chocolate and topped with cookies and cream crumble. It is only going to be around for a limited time, so you have got to try it as soon as possible, and you've got to buy it as soon as possible. And here's the best bit. It's really good for you. It's got 16 grams of protein, only 150 calories, only 8 grams of sugar. It's delicious, it's nutritious, it's the ideal snack. I'm going on a hike this weekend, and I will be taking as many Built Bars as I can physically carry, and I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to take some Mud Pie Bars with me, because they sound good as heck. You're going to love the new Mud Pie Built Bar and Built Puff, whether you need a snack for your workout, a late-night treat, or you just need to grab a quick bite. Built is the perfect protein bar, and they taste even better than a candy bar. So go to Built.com right now. Use promo code LOCKED15, and you can get 15% off your order. Once again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. So we need to ask you a favor here at Locked On. We put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners like you and make your favorite Locked On podcast even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and don't like about Locked On podcasts. So go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey right now to get started. It's not going to take very long, and everyone that completes the survey can qualify for a chance to win one of 10 $100 Ticketmaster gift cards. To take our audience survey, go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey, and we appreciate your help.
It's a risky call, but I like it. Sometimes I like when teams take a lot of risks, so yeah. Fire away.
Well, the Ottawa Senators are drafting 7th overall, so maybe keep an eye on
that.
No disrespect to the Senators. And I feel like, again, I live in a glass house when I say this kind of thing, because I've got Jaromir Kekäläinen as my GM. But I feel like if there's another team that likes to go off the board as consistently as the Blue Jackets do, I feel like it's the Senators. And what are they gonna do? Not draft someone who's 6'5"? Like, I feel like that's really going to work in his favor.
It checks that box for them. Yeah. And I think for Columbus, what checks the box for them is Columbus likes guys with skill. Mm. Like guys like even defensemen, guys like Corson Coolmans, like he had a bit of skill to him as well for a big man. You know, Stanislav Svazil, he showed flashes of skill as well. Ken Johnson is a forward, you know, but you draft him at 5 like Columbus did because of the skill. And you go, okay, there's flaws. Like he is flawed too, but he's flawed, but really, really skilled. And Pickering is a player that I think has some flaws as well, but the skill is there and the possession potential is there. And I feel like if that's kind of what they're aiming for, yeah, I think there's a lot of headroom to work with Pickering on.
Yeah, I feel like you can always tell when teams draft players, like, and this might be me completely reaching here, but I feel like looking at the kind of players that Columbus has drafted over the past couple of years, and like you said, there's a lot of skilled guys there that have flaws in other areas. I feel like you can tell what Columbus is confident they can, like, not train out of players, but I feel like, you know, like, I feel like you watch some teams and they always draft guys that have trouble skating. Or that, you know, they're not smooth skaters as maybe someone else of their same skill level. And I feel like when you look at Columbus, you can kind of tell, yeah, they draft skill guys, and then, you know, they're really confident in their ability to develop, like, their transition game, for example. Because I feel like that was, and again, this might be confirmation bias because I spent the entire season watching him, but I feel like Cole Sillinger's transition game really just got better and better as the season went on, and I feel like that's something that Columbus is you know, they've picked him because he's highly skilled, and he didn't even really get a chance to show the offense that he had, but his transition game went from fine to actually really quite good, I think.
Sure, yeah, and I think that's true, and I think that Pickering checks that box too, if that's what they're looking for, because I think his transition game does need work, but it's not like he doesn't show signs of being able to get there. You know, he shows that ability of going, okay, but you've got the mind for sort of deception and using your skill to your advantage in transition with the puck. To me, it's just a matter of like hitting his pass targets. And you know, I feel like especially in Canadian hockey, there's this tendency to dump and chase, like not dump and chase and just sort of like you just get to the center line and dump it. There is a lot of that. But even from defensemen, like hitting guys in the neutral zone and maybe not aiming to complete a pass, but just tip it. Like, just fire it at one of your wingers and hope it goes off their foot. And then you just chase after it in the offensive zone. And, you know, if that happens, like in the data that I track, if Owen Pickering were doing that all night and then a forward goes and gets the retrieval, that's I count that as completed. But when I say that 60% are not completed, that means the other team is gaining possession 60% of the time when he's moving pucks across blue lines. So Either his line mates need to be faster and more physical, or that's just not a very efficient way to play hockey. And I, you know, both might be the case for sure with him specifically, but this isn't a trend I've noticed with a lot of, especially Canadian defensemen, is really focusing on, and it happens in the NHL too, like really focusing on this sort of pass the puck out of the goal line or out of the defensive end, hit someone standing at the red line, they tip it into the offensive zone, and then you gain the offensive zone and try to fight to win the puck back, which is fine. But it's, you know, my angle is always, why would you give up possession if you didn't have to? And I feel like if Pickering can sort of rewire himself to maybe be a bit more confident with the puck on his stick, develop his feet to get a bit stronger and quicker, you know, he's got the footwork right now, but in terms of generating speed and especially when he's changing directions and sort of faking guys out, like being able to add a bit more explosiveness to his feet, which ideally should come since he has just grown a whole bunch, then I think there's a lot to like there. Because the hands are already, like we were saying earlier, he has the hands of a 5'10" skilled forward, but he's trapped in a 6'5" body that, you know, is on the way to being something more interesting, but still hasn't got there. I think the degree to which you believe that he's going to get there over the next few years, because developing very, very large players can take time, that will factor into your decision. And that gives him a bit of a widespread as to where he could land.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, you say 6'5", but I don't think we've mentioned yet that he is only 180 pounds.
Yeah.
Technically 179. So yeah. I assume that he basically, like, if you turn sideways, he disappears. You know, he's got some filling out to do.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I wanted to talk about something else in the draft as well, because it's something that I'd kind of noticed but hadn't really thought a bunch about until someone asked me about it the other day. There are no goalies that are really kind of moving the bar at any point. Like, I haven't done any profiles for goalies. I was flicking through. No one has any goalies listed to go in the first round. Like, is that... What's up with that? Is that just because there's no goalies? Is that because the goalies aren't as good this year? Like, I have a theory, but I want to see if there's a reason that you
could. I think there's a couple of things going on. First, I think across the board, offense in hockey is up. Like, I think pretty much across the board. Like, the NHL, there's way more offense now, you know, than there has been in the past few years. I feel like at the junior level, certain leagues, I would say especially, are less intense defensively and have poorer quality goaltending relative to the skill of the offense. Like, you look at the CHL, especially the Quebec League, I feel like there's a lot of players that are scoring a lot more in the Quebec League when the quality of competition they're playing against defensively is, or goaltending-wise, is not there. The other thing I think is that, and this is my viewpoint just as an individual, goaltenders are really hard to evaluate at this age. Like, that's already, lots of people know that. But as an evaluator, like, who isn't super experienced with goaltenders, and like, I try to learn as much as I can about goaltending, but just the numbers in the draft are just impossible to stay on top of in terms of like projecting who will work out as a goaltender. Like, my checklist is, do you have multiple years of stopping pucks a lot? Like, do you stop pucks? That's the first question, right? If you're an 890 goaltender in the CHL, I'm not interested. Like, I just don't care. And 9 times out of 10, those guys don't work out. I think the only one in the NHL that was a sub-900 goaltender in the CHL was Braden Holtby, I think, was the only one. And that's one. And he was like a fourth-round pick. So, I don't know. If that's what you want to chase, go nuts. But I look at guys and goaltenders that... When I go look at NHL goaltenders, and then when I watch tape of these 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds, I go, there's not that much of a difference between these two guys, and they're playing at comparable levels. So Yaroslav Askarov was one where I'm like, he's playing at a high level. He's playing against men. When I watch, you know, he's obviously quite unrefined, but in terms of athleticism and that, you know, you watch Jonathan Quick play goal, and then you watch Yaroslav Askarov play goal, and it's like, they're not exactly the same, but they're up the same alley. And I can already tell that Askarov, you don't want him playing as much like Jonathan Quick all the time, but sometimes it really works and it's amazing. But on the other hand, you've got like Jesper Wallstedt, and you watch goaltenders like Roberto Luongo and Carey Price and these guys that just get dialed in. They don't overthink it. They just stop the puck. They're always square to the puck carriers. They're always prepared for cross ice passes, cross seam stuff. And they put up a good fight trying to stop those chances. And then you go watch Jesper Wallstedt last year, and I go, yep, he kind of does a lot of these things, and he's already in the SHL. Like, he's playing pro hockey. He was playing under 20 hockey when he was 15. Like, box, 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 all checked. Like, this guy's probably pretty good. Not a genius, but, like, this guy's probably pretty good. You know, and I feel a lot more confident about those types of profiles. This year, there's none of them. Like, Tyler Brennan was a guy that people were thinking about in the first round going into the season. He's been, like... He's on a bad team in Prince George. They're not great. He faced a lot of pucks, but again, he kind of doesn't hit that. I'm just trying to find him on my list here of goaltenders. Doesn't really hit that echelon, that benchmark. Like, he's a 345 goals against with a 905. You know, like, if he was like a 920 save percentage on a bad team, I'd be a lot more interested. You know, even when you go to Europe. A lot of guys are talking about Tobias Lehman, and he was a good Finnish junior league goaltender this year. Like, not necessarily great, but fine. And the thing with goaltenders is that as much as it's not a strong year, I don't think, for goaltending, they always get drafted. Like, there's always like 20 goaltenders that get drafted. So I get the feeling that some team is going to step up at like in the top 40, because that's usually when goaltenders start to go off the board, and just draft a guy, even though I wouldn't. But some teams just go, we need a goalie. Let's draft one, and we think we found a good one or whatever. And there aren't, but for me, like, there's just not a lot of guys that really check a lot of those boxes for me. Like, Sergei Ivanov in Russia, maybe, but I don't know how much I feel about that. I mean, a guy I want drafted is Lukas Swedin, who plays in Sweden. He's 5'10". You know, we're seeing UC Saros be one of the better goaltenders out there right now. And I feel like that's kind of allowing people to be a little bit more liberal with size and goaltenders. And I mean, if you think you can, and he's really athletic, this Swedish guy, like he stopped a lot of pucks this year in a pretty decent workload. So he might be a guy that who have actually seen live and go, well, not live, but seen on camera and go, okay, like this guy kind of gets it. Like he's really athletic, cuts off angles really well for a small guy. Like there might be something there, but a lot of it I think is there aren't a lot of these guys that check a lot of boxes. You know, a lot of guys that are ranked as goaltenders are just very big and are adequate right now. And like, maybe you develop that down the road. You know, and the other thing about goaltending is that I feel like a lot of it is mental. Like a lot of what makes goaltenders so reliable in the NHL is that it's a mental thing. Like how comfortable are they in the net? How comfortable are they with a team in front of them? Because year over year, some goaltenders swing pretty drastically. And even when you think you have a good one, the next year you might not. And so teams might just go, ah, you know what, like we can sign goaltenders or we can trade prospects to grab a goaltender. And there aren't even that many this year in the first place that we're really, really interested in. But I don't know, like goaltenders will get drafted for sure. But I think there's a lot of things that sort of go on under the surface that are limiting, I would say, that kind of push them down the list quite a bit because of there's nobody really sort of hitting all those benchmarks. And yeah, I don't know. It there's a lot going on, I think, with goaltending, and it's a very, very dark market, I would say.
Yeah, goalies, even in the NHL, I feel like goalies are mostly made of like voodoo and like vibes. Then when you get into like 17-year-olds, it's even harder to kind of predict. But what I noticed when I was kind of just glancing at these, like the draft eligible goalies, is that there was a lot of under 20 Sweden goalies. There were a lot of like junior Finnish goalies, junior Russian goalies. There weren't a ton of them playing like in the men's leagues in a way that like you just mentioned, Wallstedt is playing in the SHL as is he even 20 yet, as a 19-year-old, you know?
Yeah.
In a minute, I am going to talk to Scouch about goalies, because goalies are weird in this draft, and I wanted to find out why. So I thought, hey, why not ask one of the experts? So we're going to be talking to Will Scouch about that coming up next on Locked On Blue Jackets. So, and then the other thing I wondered is, and again, this might be confirmation bias, but I feel like, especially when you look at like NCAA goalies and CHL goalies, obviously, if you have a starting goalie on that team, because it takes so long to develop, like there's not a new starting goalie every season. Yeah. You know? So I wondered if we were just in that weird kind of soft space where all of the NCAA teams and the CHL teams kind of, for the most part, have their starting goalie that was maybe drafted last year, maybe drafted the year before. And obviously, because goalies tend to do at least 2 years in junior or the NCAA, that they're kind of, there's a weird logjam of, of goalies right now.
Yeah, it's possible. I think that, you know, that could be happening as well. It's just, yeah, I mean, I know that some people are a little bit skittish when you go, oh, goaltending is voodoo and nothing matters. But I think there is a grain of truth to that because of, and that's like, that kind of comes from people like me who back test models and look at the draft in the past and go, it's really noisy. Like, goaltenders are weird, but when I look back, you know, the reason I sort of gave you my quick checklist of what I look for in a goaltender is, like, when I look back at where the goaltenders in the NHL came from, there is a bit of a trend of, you know, do they stop pucks? How many of them are Canadian, right? Like, part of the big problem in Canada in hockey right now internationally is, look at their under-18 team, the goaltenders that they had, like, who, even if they had the choice of every under-18 goaltender in Canada right now, who would they bring? Are they better than what Hugo Havlid was doing at the U18s this year? Probably not. Are they better? You know, even Tobias Leinonen had a pretty decent tournament in that tournament, you know? So it just seems, but there's always this focus on North Americans, you know, it's always this focus in the draft of let's draft North Americans. But a lot of the time, most goaltenders in the NHL right now are not Canadian. Carey Price is one, but a lot of them are, and Carey Price didn't even play that much this year, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. There's a lot of European
goaltenders, a lot of them at the top end of the class. So I think for me, a lot of it is, you know, look at those guys. Where did they come from and what kind of numbers were they putting up and how historically good have they been? Or did they come from being adequate or average and then became great? And usually they don't just become great. Usually it's guys that even at any given level, like Ryan Miller is a good example too. He was playing high school hockey, but he was stopping like 96% of the shots he faced in high school hockey. And I'm going, well, I mean, I would certainly send a scout out there to go check out this high school kid who's like, you know, dominating every single game and see what's up. And you get Ryan Miller. But I mean, that's a bit of an extreme example, but you can do that with like junior level hockey in Europe and just say, look, these guys are stopping 92, 93% of pucks. Let's see what it's all about. You know, let's set aside these guys that are maybes and look at these guys that are already stopping pucks and have stopped pucks at the under 18, under 16 level. And they just, everywhere they go, they stop pucks. Like that seems to be the only thing to me where I'm going, this interests me as a goaltender. And this year there just isn't that many guys that do that. So I feel like a lot of people are going, yeah, but what if about a lot of these goaltenders? And I don't really like doing that with my draft picks, but if it's like, you know, it's the fourth, fifth, sixth round, like if there's a goalie you like, go right ahead. Be my guest.
Yeah. And I feel like as well, like you only have, I mean, most teams as well only have one first round pick. Like, and if you swing and a miss on a defenseman, for example, well, you got five other defensemen. In theory, you know, one goalie is 50% of the goalies on your team. So if you swing and a miss with the goalie, I feel like you're more likely to consider that like a failed draft if you're going to spend your first round pick. You know,
you can at least take a guy you drafted at 25 and like give them a go in the NHL. They're not playing 60 minutes a night. You know, you can give them 10 minutes of ice time and see how they do for 10 games. And if they stink, you go, okay, at least we know. But if you do that,
you've got to kind of go big or go home.
Yeah, you got 60 minutes, and if they suck, you lose 7-2, and you go, well, we can't do that again. And like it's one, even if it wasn't the goalie's fault or anything, it's like, well, I'd be awfully silly if I put him back in net two nights from now and we lose 8-1. Like it would be bad. So
yeah,
let's not do that. So it's just also tougher for goalies to land jobs and then keep jobs. So yeah, it's just a matter of value and draft pick and what you think you're getting. So we'll see what happens. I still would be very surprised to see no goalies drafted, like even in the top 50. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. But from what I've been hearing from people and talking to people about, it's a pretty light year on goaltending. And if there is one that works out, I don't think there's that many indicators that are, you know, for a lot of these guys, there's not a lot of indicators that go, oh yeah, this guy could work out. There's a couple that I might be happy drafting later on if they're available. A guy like Lucas Swedin could be a seventh round pick goaltender, like Dustin Wolf was. Like Dustin Wolf was a seventh round draft pick, but a lot of people had him in their top 100. He stopped a lot of pucks. The previous year stopped a lot of pucks. And but he was 5'10". And I think he's grown to 6 feet now or something, or 5'11", which is not huge, but he's still stopping pucks. And he's with Calgary's farm team and he's stopping a lot of pucks. So somehow he just keeps saving pucks, and I feel like Calgary doesn't mind drafting that guy in the seventh round, and maybe they have their spiritual successor to Jakob Markstrom there one day. It's just going to be a matter of can he do it in the NHL at this point, which, you know, you got to be patient and find out. But that was a seventh round pick, and if you get your NHL goaltender in the seventh round because everyone else thinks they're too small, you did a phenomenal job. And there could be a couple of them this year that maybe I'd take a swing on, but the selection's somewhat limited, I would say.
Yeah, as a goalie who is like 5'10 on a good day, I am always championing for the UC Saros.
Oh, 100%
of the world. You know, like you can take your 6'6 goalies and you can put them somewhere else. I want smaller goalies. I think it's more fun. But yeah, like I was looking at, and like really over the past legitimately 20 years, like Marc-Andre Fleury went first overall. Mm-hmm. Harry Price went fifth. I don't know if there's another starting goalie in the NHL that went in the top 10, unless I'm forgetting someone. Like, I know Andrei went 19th, but that's only because I was looking at the 19th overall picks the other day. But,
yeah,
you know, goalies true. Are...
If Andre Vasilevsky... The thing about Andre Vasilevsky is if he was Canadian and had the career that he had to the point where he was drafted, like, he would have gone really, really high. Like, I'm convinced, like... I remember that draft and looking at Vasilevsky, and I'm going, this guy played at the under 18s like when he was 15 and wasn't bad. Like, that's unbelievable. Like, and then he went to, you know, he didn't play very much. I don't think he played any pro hockey going into that, but his draft year, he had something like a 935 save percentage and was facing like 40 shots a night. And I'm going, how do you not, like, this guy's been at three under 18s before he is draft eligible. I don't think very many guys do that in the top division, let alone play goalie, let alone Russian goalies. So I think there's also a matter of like a bias against European goaltenders that factors in there. I mean, people were concerned about Vasilevskiy ever coming over. It's funny, like, this is a tangent, but it's funny to me that people say this guy's not going to come over from Russia for at least a couple of years. Even though I think it's come out now that in their draft interviews with him, he's like, where do you want to be in 3 years? He's like, oh, I'm going to be playing for the Tampa Bay Lightning in 3 years. And he was. Like, yeah. And if I sat down with a prospect goaltender who had that kind of track record and he's like, I'm going to play on your team, that's what's going to happen, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I love it. Let's go. And so I think that Wallstead was the closest thing, but the same thing happened to Wallstead that happened with Vasilevskiy.
I was going
to
bring that right? up. Yeah,
he's the only one where I looked at him and I went, that guy's a rock star. Like, even Askarov, I go, he's a little bit out of control at times and a little bit shaky and comes and goes, but when he's really good and athletic and stopping pucks, he's unbelievable. But when he isn't, he's really bad. And with Wallstead, it's like the opposite, where it's like he's never really that flashy, but pucks stick to him. He controls rebounds really well. He moves himself around the crease extremely well. Just never really, he's just a very strong, fundamentally technically strong goaltender. And I have a very bad eye for goaltending, but that was when I was like, okay, that's what a goaltender is supposed to look like at this age, like a really, really good one. Let's see what happens with this guy. So those are rare, though, like, for sure. And, you know, when you look back at the 2003 draft, I think, which was when Fleury went first overall, he had a great career, but there's a whole bunch of players in that draft that also could have gone first overall, I would argue. And I think Carey Price was 2005.
Yes.
Which, you know, he probably was drafted around the range where he belonged, and he's had a great career. So, yeah, but I think that those specific things are rare. And I feel like those types of players don't come along very often. And even when they do, if they're not Canadian, they just might slip down the board. Americans come by once in a while too, but usually they'll slip a little further than you would think.
Yeah, I know. First of all, I was convinced that Wallstedt was going to go in the top 10 last draft.
I thought it would be crazy not to, yeah.
15, and I was like, come on, the Red Wings need a goalie. The Red Wings need a goalie, and then they drafted Kosa. And I was like, of course they did. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Even the extremely Russian Red Wings are like, yeah, no, we need this Canadian kid.
Yeah. I mean, there were, like, Wallstedt was a guy who I think there, you know, I asked around about him after he was drafted by Minnesota. I mean, I get the feeling that Minnesota was thrilled. I don't think they expected him to be available. I think a lot of teams probably in that range didn't think so. I thought Minnesota was laughing to themselves when Edmonton didn't want to draft Jesper Wallstedt. Like, and they draft, like, I really like Xavier Bourgault, but trading down two spots and you lose Jesper Wallstedt feels like a decision that could really burn you.
Especially when you look at Edmonton's whole
situation. They don't have a goaltender. Like, Jesper Wallstedt could be their starter in 2 years if they drafted him. You know, I don't know, but I know there are reasons why teams were a little skittish about him, but the reasons that I heard that teams were skittish about him were not particularly logical. And again, if they were applied to North American players, teams probably wouldn't be as concerned. So I don't know. I think that he is one of the rare examples of, at least for me, where I'm going, yeah, this guy's special and we'll see what happens. But I don't think there are many of those guys that come around very often, let alone this year, maybe not even next year. I don't know. I haven't even really looked at the goalies for next year, to be honest. So it's like I said earlier, it's a dark market. It's very strange.
Yeah. As someone who has, you know, more than a passing knowledge of goalies, I still like look at goalie prospects and I'm like, you could be the best goalie in the world, yeah, or you could never play in the NHL. It's so tough to predict goalies specifically.
So much of it is mental too, right? Yep. Like, you get into the NHL, it's just a different animal. Like, mm-hmm. the speed is bigger, the speed is it's faster, it's more physical, decisions are made quicker, you got to be quicker. You know, it's very tough. It's not easy to be an NHL goaltender for multiple years on end.
It's
so,
like, I can't remember who said it, but it's the one where, like, what if every time you messed up at your job, 10,000 people stood up and booed you, you know? Like,
yeah, goal not, sucks. Not an easy job. So it's really hard. And some guys, like, they might not have the technical skill or the agility or the fancy athleticism, you know, like, not everyone is Dominic Hasek, not everyone's Jonathan Quick, whatever. But if you are mentally sort of like dialed in and zoned in, and all you do is just focus, I got to stop the puck. That's, you know, and you're pretty well refined, but you're mentally resilient and just sort of buckle down and get the job done. That might be something that can be kind of difficult to pick out at 17. And a lot of kids might say they have that, but then when they hit the NHL, they go, oh boy. Or even the AHL. It's like, oh, this is different. This is a different animal. And how they go from there is part, it's, that's sort of the X factor, is like, what happens when they're challenged, right? Like, what happens when they're pushed on their heels and really challenged? Do they keep putting up the good results, or is it, you know, are there leaks that need to be patched, right? So it's just so hard to tell. And it's why if I were running a draft table, like, unless I was absolutely certain, like guys like Wallstedt, Askarov, whatever, unless that's the case, probably not drafting a goalie in the first couple rounds of the draft, and I'll just focus my efforts elsewhere.
Yeah, it's worked out for basically every other team, you know?
Pretty much, yeah, right.
I could talk about goalies basically forever, but we should probably cut it there. If people want to, I don't know, engage with you about goalies more, or just kind of get more prospect news, or I know I'm going to be checking in on the scouting video reports and whatnot, where can people find you and your work?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter or YouTube predominantly, scouting at both. We got lots more video content coming out on the YouTube channel. You can also follow my work at McKeensHockey.com. We have the draft guide that just came out, or the draft rankings, I should say, just came out. The draft guide's coming soon. My reports end up written there as well for every video that comes out. I do live streams every Thursday night at 8 p.m. This week, it'll be Wednesday night. So a little bit of a different change of schedule this week. But that's basically it. You can directly support me on Patreon at Scouching, patreon.com/Scouching, or YouTube. My membership program's open as well, which you can join from any video on my channel. So lots of ways you can catch up and follow along or support me or whatever you like to do. So explore at your leisure.
And that's all I've got for you today. Tomorrow, we're going to be continuing our WHL prospect push. I'm going to be talking to Joel Henderson, who works with FC Hockey and Puck Preps, to do a ton of WHL scouting. And we are going to be talking about another defenseman in this draft tomorrow. We are going to be looking at Kevin Korchinski, who is basically the opposite to Owen Pickering. And so we're going to take a look at him. We're going to take a look at a couple of other WHL prospects later in the week. I've been Jeff Foster. You can find me on Twitter at @L_JacobFoster, JakobFoster. You can find this podcast at @LO_BlueJacket. If you have comments, questions, criticisms, you can email me at LockedOnBlueJackets@gmail.com. And thank you once again for making this your first listen of the day. Locked On Blue Jackets is free and available on all podcast platforms and also on YouTube. Never going to have to get behind the paywall for a Locked On product. Once again, later this week, we're going to be talking to Joel Henderson for more WHL prospect, as the draft is only like 3 weeks away at this point. It's coming up. So until tomorrow, make sure you stay locked on.